Superheroes of the world, unite. We shall take the fight to Orcas.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, gosh. You got the Avengers teaming up with X-Men. You got Doom teaming up with the X-Men.
The X-Men
that get all their friends together.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Welcome to the X-Wife Podcast. I'm Alicia.
I'm just so excited.
Justin cannot get enough of his old lady voice.
Yes, yes, yes. That's a great definition.
We have three comics to talk about today.
Yeah.
Just a nice, easy, breezy episode. We've got our Digi X-Men Unlimited, number 133. Then we've got our two Tangies, Avengers, number 12, and X-Men, number 33.
But first...
The news?
The news, news, news!
Oh my god, it's news. We have to talk about news. That's so crazy.
We get to talk about news. The X-Men wedding special out on 529.
Ooh.
We've got some details of some of the stories inside.
Yes.
The people involved, the creators coming back to characters we know and love.
There's one in particular that I am excited about.
Who's that?
Teenie Howard.
Teenie Howard will be writing the Betsy and Rachel story that will take place in Otherworld involving Saturnine. It will be drawn by Philip Seve.
Mm-hmm.
That is a team up that we are all excited about over here. Handful of other bits from, you know, Wolverine's involved with a team of young mutants, which I think is a great combination. Anole, Pixie, Indra, and Bling.
Okay.
You've got Rogue's side of the story and Gambit trying to deliver the wedding bands.
Ooh.
For the big day for Mystique and Destiny.
Yes. Seems like, it is a vow renewal that, right? I have seen. That's what's happening. It
seems
right?
Like some vignettes to play around the bigger picture. Mystique and Destiny are also doing some pre-marriage psychic counseling courtesy of Emma Frost. What could go wrong?
That sounds
what
could go like wrong? A terrible choice.
Emma's going to sleep with everyone. That's how she does therapy.
I just don't think she'd be my top choice for counseling.
Nope. Nope. Hire a professional, please. There was a X-Men locations article. So like these are the locations that are important to the X-Men. The mansion, the Morlock tunnels. Not Krakoa.
Not Krakoa anymore.
Not Krakoa. Not even the treehouse. No,
well, that thing is burned to the ground, baby.
Sure, but like you're doing a retrospective of historical points that are relevant to... Right? And so that's fine.
It's kind of sad if it's going to be a retrospective that you're not going to include Krakoa at all.
The most recent... You know, that is like an elongated step away.
Feels like a distancing. Hey, these are the places that you're going to need to know about going forward. Need to know about Krakoa.
Forget about
again.
That crack.
Go cry about it.
Hey, Bloodhunt.
Okay.
There's a Wolverine miniseries. We knew about this. This isn't new Wolverine content.
I know.
Okay, I'm just making sure. We got a variant released. Nothing crazy. It's just the fact that Wolverine is a part of Bloodhunt and has a four-part series with Bloodhunt, and I was curious as to like what your knowledge of or excitement over Bloodhunt was.
I mean, I don't have a ton of knowledge. I know that it's like a giant crossover with vampires, and the things I'm most excited about are Laura and Magic's moments.
Laura and Magic's moments. They do have one shots,
right?
Yeah.
So
that's all you want to check out. Well, you'll have to read the Wolverine.
Yeah, I'll read the Wolverine and
maybe even the main story, the 6-issue main event book.
Who knows?
I'll leave it there.
We'll see what happens.
I'll drift it to the top of the stack.
It'll float around the living room until maybe I read it.
Might just catch you by the eyes and draw you in. Hey, do you have any personal news?
I do have personal news. Justin bought me the Midnight Suns book as a gift of, I think, last Christmas, two Christmases ago. And I hadn't read it yet. So I finally read it. And it is, in fact, a prequel to the game. So it's a little bit like, get the end of the story because you got to play the game. But it was really cool. And I very much enjoyed seeing Magic from a different perspective. So... It was Magic, Blade, Nico, and Ghost Rider together. Together as the Midnight Suns. And some fun things I learned was that I think I knew that Limbo made Magic more powerful, but I didn't realize like that it her powers were cut essentially by a quarter, or so this book says, you know, when she's not in limbo, which is interesting. And I also didn't know that she could heal herself in limbo.
Yeah.
So she like gets the crap beat out of her because she's like glamored by a demon. So she looks like she's someone else, and Ghost Rider and Blade go ham on her. And like, it's not until Blade realizes like, wow, this person's really good with a sword. And then they're like, oh shoot, that's magic.
Where's magic?
And she's like, she's really hurting. And she like, just like, hold on 1 second. And she like bops into limbo and gets healed. And I just thought that was so cool. So it was fun to read a story about comic characters in a novel. And also, I had a thrifting extravaganza this weekend. I went to Savers and I got a boatload of things for $45. I'm not going to list them all off, but there was clothing, there were bathroom accessories, there was organizational tools, there was other stuff. I was so excited that I only spent $45. I thought I was going to spend like $55, $60, and then I got up to the register and everything was even more on sale. And I was just like, how? Wow. What? Amazing. What about you? What's your personal news?
What is my personal news? I can't remember what I said last week and if I started talking about this. So D&D, right? Mm-hmm. In the background of my heart for always now.
The background?
The foreground, the middle ground, just in the ground, rooting into my soul.
Uh-huh.
I have started to create combo moves.
Yes.
For the people in the party. Sounds so just like, yes, you have.
No, I'm sorry. Let me take that again. Yes.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to sound disgruntled about it.
It just, you know, it's another layer into the enjoyment of the exploration of these characters, how they can play off of each other, how you can do things in conjunction. And it started from a suggestion from Alicia, which was great.
Yeah.
And was applied into some of the skills that our different characters have. And it's just kind of a interesting, I akin it to Danger Room trials, but I'm just running mentally these characters into different scenarios.
Okay, Cyclops.
Yeah, exactly. I don't call myself the blinds, you know, but I do run strategic scenarios for our team and have battle formations
plotted out. The Blinds is the name of our team, y'all.
Because we idolized the Shade, who was a hero who was killed.
Right. And,
yes.
So it's not like, it's like curtains.
Curtains.
The Blinds.
We are the curtains. That doesn't sound as impactful.
But I just wanted to clarify that it's not sight. It's actually blocking your sight with the curtains.
We started playing Ultimate Alliance again and have had access to some additional X-Men levels that we hadn't played before, which was a part of the expansion that had just gotten added in, which was kind of fun, kind of cool. Yeah. And then the last thing I'll throw in, I'm going to a 2-hour Tai Chi class today.
Yeah.
I brought it up in a previous instance of personal news that I had tried Tai Chi and then have now found this like free master class of Tai Chi with this guy, and I'm going with a friend, Stefan, and I'm really excited to check that out.
I'm jealous I can't go, but I'll be performing today.
Nice.
My first performance. It's not a dance performance. It's a living statue performance post-surgery. Very exciting stuff.
You know what's exciting?
When we read the same issue of X-Men Unlimited and talk about it together at the same time?
Yeah, that'll be in a couple of steps.
Oh.
It's a poll, though.
Oh. Man, I really thought I was going to, you were tossing it up and I was going to knock it out of the bar. Incorrect.
Over here, riding my Segway.
Okay.
Two comics into the poll. You know them. They're in front of you.
Yeah.
What won? What didn't? What's the numbers? Avengers v. X-Men.
I think X-Men won.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm going to say 62%? Nah, it's higher than that. It's like 92%.
82.
Okay.
Right? So somewhere in between, which I think is fair for that. There was a lot of calls for Avengers, you know, in boxes and in comments. I thought it was a great issue.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Solid issue.
My brain was like, well, they were both good issues. But then I was like,
but we are an X-Men podcast.
All of the X-Men fans read Avengers and like
so many people,
they feel.
So many people were like, oh, snap, I forgot we have the Avengers this week. I did not think about that tie-in, which was just great. We have some general questions.
Okay, let's get them.
Well, I mean, first, we've kind of been in the general questions timeline, been talking about, you know, like non-depth spoilery thoughts on
X-Men 97.
X-Men 97. So, and I thought about this today. It's like, we're not doing extended coverage on the show. We've been guesting. We've been talking to friends.
Yeah.
But I feel like if y'all are listening to a weekly, like, On the Jump comics podcast about X-Men, you're probably watching the show, if not the first day, then the couple days after. By the Saturday morning,
you've watched
it. We are not going to be posting that day screenshots or details. We don't even watch until that night.
Yeah, we
is a personal struggle that I'm going through of not being on the internet or active in any way.
We were blessed that we got to see the first three episodes, but Wednesdays are always so difficult because it's the day that I work late. So poor Justin has to just hope. I do too. Don't go on the internet because
I can't not.
People be posting things like at 7 a.m.
Yeah. Well,
you stay up till midnight and watch this episode? Like over here, it's 3 a.m. that I'd have to stay up to watch that.
Or we just get up early.
Yep.
But anyway, Motendo.
Motendo.
Right.
/ Life Death Part 1.
So many people are calling for needing a full episode for the start of Life Death. And Life Death is a very important story. And if this is going to be a running reaction, I think you are not settled to the pace of the show, right? That was a big reaction on the third episode, Fire Made Flesh, about Inferno. And I understand that. That is a massive story condensed. Right. Life Death is two issues, plus the in-between and the build-up and the fallout. It seems like it's all getting squished into this half an episode, plus the tie-in with episode 2, and then the full episode in, 6, probably?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when I was watching the show, I remember thinking when it got to the second part, I was like thinking it wasn't going to be as long as it was. And then I was like, oh, this is, I guess the Motendo part to me, I thought felt longer. Like they pack so much in that,
right, that felt like a full story.
When Life Death was happening, I was like, this feels like a whole second episode. So I do appreciate and understand the like desire for a story like that to have the care of its own individual episode. But at the same time, I felt like they're doing such a good job of like really packing the punch of what these stories are in a short period of time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and plus just to see the adversary, to get some of the, I said non-spoiler or light spoiler, but like the Life Death bits that we got set up were so important to that story, and the split, the animosity now between, and the, did you see the post? I know you didn't see it when we watched the episode, but the post that I made the next day about the cameo snapshot.
Yes, I saw.
Do you know who that is? Do you understand what that means? Are you scared about what's coming?
I am scared. I actually was like, oh, I'm very excited that Justin noticed this, but I'm pretty bitter that he didn't bring it up to me and he only posted it on the internet. And also, I just want to say for everyone who's wondering what Justin was going to say before he didn't finish his thought, was the rift between Forge and Storm. Is that what you were talking about? Yes,
that's what I was talking about.
But yeah, I don't know who that is, but it definitely made my insides not feel great to read the caption that you posted with that.
Yeah, yeah, you know?
And just fear of what the ending of the season is going to be like.
Everything's coming!
So what is that character's name? Or do you not want to say it because you're
Bastion?
Trying to be...
Yeah. Bastion?
Bastion.
Bastion.
Mine in my head just went, Carol Baskin.
Killing mutants, bam. I don't want to tell you too much because I feel like that'll be a fun way to experience it. But also interesting that Operation Zero Tolerance is coming up in my podcast guesting this evening on Grey Malkin Lane.
Oh, that is interesting. I actually...
And I brought out my Bastion action figure for that purpose.
I remember when I read the caption, I was like, okay, this is all familiar to me. And I actually said to myself, like, because I went to go look at the comments and then I was like, no, because you want to experience the story through the show and you want to be surprised by it and you don't want to like, you don't want to go into it knowing everything. Then you just want to go back and be like, how did this relate to the comics?
Right.
So I'm excited, but also terrified at the same time.
Super Smiley Colin, Rise of X and Dead X-Men, the only X-books right now, and I disagree in Magneto. Ooh. That's a bold stance, and you know, I gotta respect it. Gotta respect these are the things that you're being drawn to. But, man, the final of Resurrection Magneto comes out next week, and I'm so hyped for that.
I think it just is also a very... It's really about perspective of, like, what kind of stories you enjoy the most.
Sure,
right?
Yeah. Because,
like...
That's that big world.
I was feeling very much at the end of this week, like, much more satisfied that, like... Well, how did I put it in my notes? As we reach the end, I want the vindication of seeing, like, the... I want to see every ounce of effort they have put into the end, right? And
give
so, like,
details.
Seeing all of these characters fighting till their last breath in all these situations feels like more of a vindication than this, like, behind the scenes element of it. And I know that they're both important to whatever happens in the end, but I really enjoyed this week of comics. So
yeah.
I respect your opinion, Smiley, but I respectfully disagree.
Well, Captain 2 Michael is pointing out that the X-Men are featured in a new Marvel game.
Ooh.
That is Marvel Rivals.
Oh, yeah.
We saw an announcement trailer in the last week or so, and especially a lot of people calling it a Marvel version of Overwatch.
Mm.
Interesting fighting styles and excitement. Are you ready for...
I don't, like, know who I am anymore.
Because
I'm suddenly, like, so excited by video games, was before.
You're going to have to build up your spatial ability to fight in 3D
How
worlds.
Do you do that? Does anybody know how to make yourself not motion sick?
You just practice.
I don't know if that's
real. You gotta log the time. You just gotta log the time.
Oh, no. I'm take some Dramamine. Do you think if I...
to play video games.
Do you think if I put one of those seasick patches on before we play, I'll be okay? Oh, I should give that a test and try to play Harry Potter again.
That's so sad.
I know it is. I'm fully aware of how sad it is.
Warline gave us some comments about Deadpool number 1.
Okay.
Which came out this week. I didn't read it.
Okay.
I didn't buy it. I saw some stuff about it because, you know, I am generally curious. I almost bought it. I saw it on the shelf because, you know, Deadpool. The main things that I saw was that Valentine has been written out of the book. They have broken up, right? Which I felt like was one of my favorite parts about Alyssa's
they were so
series.
Great.
Right, yeah. And Princess is still in the book.
Thank goodness.
Princess is now seemingly the foundation of this new Merc squad that they're going to build. So I will check this out on Unlimited, but it's not something that I felt a burning desire to go read.
No.
And also it was like kind of some of the reviews that I read, because if there's something that I'm not like, whatever, I'll read stuff.
Yeah.
I'll get the deets.
I'll check it out on the review
like,
boards.
You know, it's fine. It's
all right.
It feels familiar.
Good to know.
Shout out to our friends in Australia, the Gene Queens and Furious, who, in a retcon reveal, it was mentioned that they know each other.
Blew my freaking mind.
Right? Furious had tagged us in this great art piece by Jeremiah Blackwell of him and Sally Blevins hiding out from an incoming Sentinel attack.
Yes.
It is this beautiful art piece of just all of the destruction that they have detailed over the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope, we haven't heard from them in a little bit. So
I know.
I'm worried that something happened. Like that Fei Long and Tony fight went a little bit more furious than we knew.
I know. I went to check in on messages today and I was like, uh-oh. there's nothing from the Gene Queens. There's nothing from Furious. Is everyone okay?
Check in on Australia. Are you ready to check in on X-Men Unlimited?
I'm so ready.
I was a week ago ready for this issue. And
this morning I actually shared the little, it's like a minute and a half clip of us talking about two different comics at once. And I'm actually like really impressed with myself. Like I was listening to it and I'm like, girl, you are lying straight through your teeth. You are just like you said, like something about Richter's hand. And I was just like, yeah, I didn't even know how powerful Richter was. Meanwhile, I'm over here like, what?
Well, yeah.
So I shared that little clip on our Patreon so that people could hear
the confusion.
Hear the moment when I said, okay, I can't pretend that I know what you're saying anymore. But we're on the same page now.
Yay. In the same app. And talking about the aftermath of this cyber attack gone wrong, the kind of hack the hackers or played back by Gideon, and the X-Core Island is free falling.
It is fallen. It's the island is fallen, and Thunderbird is sassy.
Yeah,
he's so like, I told you, islands and mutants don't mix. What are you gonna do now, Betsy?
Yeah, yeah, and everyone's freaking out. I love the facial reactions as we catch different sights of our teams throughout the base. You have the tech squad with Mirage. You have just the Madrox unit all freaking out. Are there any life pods? No, try harder.
Try harder.
As, you know, Betsy is keeping things together. She is doing leader stuff.
Yes.
As Thunderbird is just freaking out.
Yes, yes.
Contacting Richter and Shatterstar to say, hey, what could you do in a situation like this?
Right. Any ideas?
I love the back and forth conversation. Like, how can you do this? What could you do? And then the ploy to bring up this hand of rock to catch the island from underwater.
Right. The idea that it's like, well, I can't control the earth that is on the island because it's too out of control right now, but I can bring the other part of the earth to the island.
Yeah. Yeah. If this island has to break, you know, that's fine.
Right. Because it'll just soften the landing a little.
If Krakoa doesn't make it out to the other side, neither does this one. I don't
know. X-Core Island does not get to come either.
It's cool. It's interesting as a concept. Keep the greenhouse instead.
And then we see Birdo, who is not looking great.
Well, he's been the reactor core, right? He's been powering the entire island. And now that the island is taking a break, so can he.
Right. But
for a break, he's decided to rally the troops and say, no, we got to do another thing.
Revenge.
We've got to hit them now where we can. I got a guy on the inside who likes being on the inside.
Solemn has entered the chat.
Slicing through the door of Gideon and Burke. Trying to let them know, hey, mutants aren't going down without a fight.
Mm-mm.
We are coming after Selene. Immortal Fury versus Araco's Blade. Next issue. Written by Steve Fox and Steve Orlando. Art by Nick Roach. Colors, Fersu Fuentes Shujo. And letters, Travis Lanham.
This is Travis Lanham.
Now that we're finally on the same page, what do you think about this issue?
Well, it was really fun to read this issue and be like, that's what he meant. I get it now. No, I mean, I'm just really enjoying this story overall. I love the team dynamics. I love getting to see some of these characters that we haven't seen shine in the forefront of a book in a while take the stage, you know. The stuff with Richter is really great. I'm really enjoying Richter and Shatterstar's relationship. Shatterstar almost falling, coming out of the shower, and like just
his actions. Yeah. Just like his character, like his energy as he's coming out of the bathroom, just looking so disheveled.
What's happening?
Yeah.
It kind of reminds, like in that moment, it was sort of like, so there was an earthquake in the New England area this week, and
and your bewilderment.
Yeah, I can identify with Shatterstar in that moment because I'm sitting here like at my computer doing work, and Justin's outside, and I'm like, the whole house shakes, and I'm like, what the heck was that? And I like,
she comes outside. What did you just do? What do you mean? What did you do? I took the trash outside, and I took down a bird's nest in the carport.
I was like, the whole house just shook.
That wasn't me.
And then like 10 minutes later, Justin's like, yep, there was an earthquake.
There was an earthquake. Facebook Minds report.
But I'm just saying, I can identify with the frazzled nature that Shatterstar has. And just the way that the two of them are together, you know, when the whole ordeal is over and Richter's like in Shatterstar's lap. I just think they're so cute. And also, I'm excited to see kind of where this takes Roberto's character, because he's definitely, you know, he recently became part of my top 10 characters. He's creeping into my heart, that little son of a gun.
I thought you were going to say something about like his prominence in media, but no, like personally, he has wormed his way into my top 10.
Yeah, yeah. But like he, just the strength that he has to be giving all that he's got to this moment, and then how depleted he is, but how motivated he is to just keep going forward. Like, let's call in the next set of members of the team.
You almost start to understand his cockiness.
You almost. almost.
I love just the wide cast,
mm-hmm.
the disjointed feel, but it's tending different stories. Like, it's not bouncing around in one issue.
Yeah.
It's bouncing around in segments. So we get to a different site. We get a payoff of a thread that happened an issue or two ago,
mm-hmm.
and we get to see that full payoff in a breath of a scroller. And just the variety of characters that we have. Like, it is, by character team and by narrative, a side story. But a side story that is so ingrained right. in the overall that it feels like this is Fall of X, Fall of the House of X reading.
Right, for sure.
Are you ready for Earth's mightiest heroes to enter into the struggle that we have been dragged through for months, years,
the Avengers? Decades? The Avengers?
The Avengers have taken a stand for mutant rights yet again.
Oh, yeah.
Late to the
yet
party.
Yet again.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, sometimes Cap is good with the whole Unity Squad stuff.
That's true. You're right.
This feels good.
Yeah, it does. We're going kind of high level on this bad boy?
I mean, sure, it moves pretty quick. It's primarily action.
Indeed it is.
Let's talk about the cover. Mysterium Man and his friends.
Orcus is getting a beatdown, faux show.
So, I mean, I've been reading, or at least buying, I kind of fell off reading the month-to-months after the first arc, but I've been interested and invested in this Avengers run. I do want to go back and close the gap. I didn't have that time this weekend. Had a lot of other things.
Yeah.
But this, as a creative team, this as a roster, really exciting for the Avengers just because it feels, I mean, it feels kind of MCU in the sense that it is like heavy hitters, big names, no wild cards in there that you wouldn't expect. But also just the fact that it's like a top tier Marvel superhero team right now because these are all heavy hitters.
Indeed they are. All right, I'll give it an honorary page turn noise.
Tony's got the floor and he says go.
I mean, it's interesting that Tony's been holding them back until the time was right.
He's not the leader.
Right.
So I think that that's just an interesting thing to call out, right? Captain Marvel is leading this team.
You know how I here's the thing. There's one little bit of this that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, and it's the way that he phrases, and then they used my metal or they used my machines to make their whatever. Like, at one point, it kind of sounds like he's like mad at the mutants.
Oh, he's talking about Orcus, he's talking about the metal and the machines that he created into Sentinels. He's mad, he's fired up,
right?
About Orcus,
right.
And about everything that's, you know, they took my wife and made her not really my wife again, even though that was the whole thing going on.
Yes. So it's time. The time is now. And the Avengers are ready.
There go. This, I just love the action shots. This, so if you look, we've seen on this splash page, we've seen this before in the background.
Oh.
The fact that we are in Alaska as well. A lot of calls to this being a future location in the X-Men's world.
Mm.
The Alaska team that will be Jed McKay's story, Jed McKay, the writer here, Cyclops, Magneto, is this going to be their base after they remove the people inside? Because that is a classic superhero move. Hey,
right, clean them out, set up sharp.
This is our home now.
Well, we've got a title page. The Avengers.
Hit Back, written by Jed McKay, art by Francesco Mortarino, colors Federico Blee, letters Corey Petit.
This is Corey Petit.
Stuart Immonen on the cover.
Listen, 3D Man is very fed up with Orcus. Why are you having me around if you're not going to listen to the things I have to say?
Well, because he sees three times more of the possibilities than the normal man.
They don't care.
That's his whole thing. Let's talk about the timeline of this.
No, I can't.
MODOK has left Orcus, yes. Right? We know that. We've seen that in Fall of the House of X. The fact that Tony has his Mysterium armor set up, is working with the Avengers, seemingly separate from his Outback landing team. Maybe that's where this is taking place before his Fei-Long match. And actually hitting back against MODOK and the AIM forces, the Orcus forces. That's what makes me want to point it out, is that when this takes place is in question.
I think what I will say is I had the thought of like, when does this happen? And then I was like, nope, no. Yeah. Just enjoy the story. Don't nitpick it because
the Avengers,
time is time.
The Avengers are dangerous and that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter when, it's always.
Pretty much the Avengers are just going shot for shot, place for place, breaking down barriers, destroying facilities, breaking out prisoners, just tag team style. I'll be over here, you'll be over here, let's go, go, go.
Secret Avengers?
Secret Avengers, don't call us that.
Don't call us that, even though that was a thing. But I love these shots of Black Panther tearing through Orcus agents. Mm-hmm. Black Panther and Wolverine just going ham on Orcus goons.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the little nod of, well, Tony said not to do anything, but T'Challa gonna do what T'Challa gonna do, yeah, and he's all of the systems. I don't care.
He's a wanted man from his own country. No one's gonna tell him anything. I'm Black Panther. And then Scarlet Witch and Captain America laying in on them.
The moment when someone's like, well, Captain America, like, we're not scared of you. And he's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't be scared of me, but, like, probably should be scared of her.
Her and the guy with claws right in your face.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know what the Impossible City is?
Well, it's a place where everyone's going.
Right? So, I mean, like, this is a testament to comics literacy or just the ability to go with the flow of mm-hmm. not knowing... Right. This is obviously a base that has been built up in Jed's run mm-hmm. that they are now operating at. The smile on your face and the enjoyment of the issue is exciting. Just yeah. because, you know, like, I'm not weighed down by not knowing all the bits and details. Yes. That's great.
Yes. Agreed. Wholeheartedly.
Oh, the splash page. This full splash page of the Secret Avengers taking down the Sentinel Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, shout out to the art team because
the art is great.
They kill it throughout this entire issue.
Yes. I mean, basically, we're continuing to take everybody to the city that is our safe haven while Orcus is, you know...
Just trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, and we get, like, for the majority of the issue, the Avengers are a few steps ahead of Orcus, but eventually Orcus figures out what's going on and we're left with this... Oh, shoot, the city is being attacked. Can y'all get back here?
Well, that's because you finally let 3D Man do what he gonna do.
Right.
Right? He is now able to move those steps ahead because he sees what's being left defenseless.
We got a new character.
Oh, the Negabans shooting Captain Marvel away and bringing in Yuna.
Yes, Yuna. Who, you know, I didn't care that I didn't really know that well.
Yeah, I'm not reading Captain Marvel, I'm not worried about this. I know what the Negamans are.
I don't, and I don't care.
doesn't care. I like the fact that, you know, the Impossible City, the city, it reminds me of Eternals.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of, like, the city that is in the Earth.
There's been a lot of cities.
Oh, yeah, this...
We have the city... We have Impossible City.
Sentinel City. These couple of pages of the Secret Avengers, I feel like those, yes, there was the call out of Thor with the lightning moment, and especially the resistance is having to fight through their defenses for mutant abilities, mm-hmm. right? So Storm being an Omega level mutant, obviously this was a care that they had put in place.
Yeah, but that was cool.
To see Thor take them down, and to see Wanda really flex her abilities standoff against the Orcus goons.
I'm going to hold these bullets here for 1 minute.
Yeah.
You have 1 minute to decide if you'd like to live or die.
Yeah. Just, I love so much of these pages.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Hey, guys, you got to come back because our last page splash of everyone coming towards the Impossible City, ready to take it down. Yes. Great ending.
Yeah.
You know, you want to talk about a page that makes you want to read the next issue.
Indeed, it does.
That really sets up the stakes. Obviously, you know, the Avengers are going to avenge.
Right.
Or not Attempts have to. Them be killed, right?
Right, right.
What'd you think?
I really like the dynamic of the characters and their relationships. As someone who doesn't often read Avengers, I felt like I was able to enjoy the story and not feel overwhelmed by what else was going on in the world of the Avengers, which I think makes for a good read when something only ties into another story for a handful of issues. Like, they're not beating us over the head with stuff we don't really need to know.
Yeah.
I understood there was a lot going on with the Avengers, but my lack of knowledge of their overall story didn't stop me from enjoying this one. I'm interested to see how this city plays against the Sentinel City and where this story progresses going forward.
Well, especially as we intertwine, right? I called that in the Wednesday post that, you know, we're getting the changing of the guard mm-hmm. here. We have X-Men written by Jerry Duggan and Avengers being written by Jed McKay, who will be writing X-Men going forward. Indeed,
yes.
And to see some of the ideas that he's bringing in, because he is intentionally making that shift from, I think he's still going to write Avengers. I'm not sure. Mm. I'm not sure like how long that has runway for, or if that will transition. It would make sense if you're focusing on a whole nother section, but it also makes sense if that's what they're building to in some kind of Phoenix crossover, which has been hinted.
Mm, interesting, interesting.
But I'm here for all of this. I wonder when it takes place timeline-wise, but this guy on the inside verifying what would otherwise be the confusion that is felt from both sides. As Maddie MKM pointed out, this is not AVX, but A plus X in a yes. beautiful display of anti-fascism from the superhero community.
Yes.
3D Man is ridiculous, and I love him for it.
He's so ridiculous.
His powers are explained is that he can do 3 times better than the normal man various things.
Right, and I also love the when he points out to MODOK, like, I don't see the future. I just see more possibilities.
Right. I can see the angles.
Right. So I'm telling you we need to be prepared for X, Y, and Z, but I'm not telling you which one is definitely going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. The bickering strategy session with him and MODOK is fluff that delivers a great cliffhanger ending. Mm-hmm. And so overall, I'm enjoying it. I really enjoyed the art, really enjoyed the dynamic splash pages. I love that we get Josh on a cover on the next issue.
Yes.
And that little tease being Orcus's counter-strike puts the Avengers on the back foot as the true extent of the Sentinel program is revealed. Can Earth's mightiest heroes stand against impossible odds, or will they fall against the metal onslaught?
Dun, dun, dun.
I think they're going to stand.
I think they'll make it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I like this as a story and a component and just the merging of these influences.
It was very fun read, and it makes like I said the relationships and the dynamics of the characters is something that I really enjoy about X books, and so seeing this team dynamic and the way that Jed is writing it gives me hope for what will happen with the X-Men.
It's the age old comparison that Avengers are work colleagues and X-Men are family. Mm-hmm. Right, you know, you get a work colleague vibe, but also in that they've been working together for a long time. Yes, they are friends outside of work. They do get a beer.
Yeah. They'll grab lunch together once in a while.
Once every other week after a meeting. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
They might share a story or two about their personal lives.
Let's not get carried away. Mike Loves Mariah Carey did not have Thor, Captain Marvel, and Scarlet Witch versus Orcus on his bingo card. Avengers was such a fun issue. I'm pumped for Jed MacKay to write X-Men, which I think is like, good. This was the test for that.
Right.
This was the sample for X fans that had not been reading Avengers to say, okay, maybe this is going to be fine.
Yeah, maybe it'll be fine.
It's
going to
be okay.
We'll have fun reading this.
We'll find our way onto the other side. This issue makes me want to go back and read the Avengers run on Marvel Unlimited, which having read the first arc, I'd say that one was worth it. I kind of got lost in the second arc and didn't really care. But I want to go back and read that as well. And Mike's also pumped to see how Jed writes the X-Men. With this issue and his past work, I think we're in good hands.
Mm-hmm.
Love to hear it. Warlion laughed out loud seeing that me and a lot of people thought that the solicitations talking about a crazy Avenger on Orcus's side would be Hank Pym. Especially because Jed MacKay and Al Ewing have been doing a lot with the Pym family. But it ended up being 3D Man, who, ironically, the Avengers kicked out for killing Skrull Hank Pym.
Oh.
Right? So he did allude to that, the fact that they got me out of here. We talked about her when Mystique was retconned to being Nightcrawler's dad because of Citrine Knoll is the first female shapeshifter to father a baby. And since continuity wormholes abound of who is what and why, I think that it is exactly the right feeling to have our expectations subverted by who we thought was going to be the big bad. But then, like, no, we're gonna throw in this other third or fourth tier guy and lean in on this ridiculous power.
Yes.
MODOK is here, so the issue was supposed to be released how many months ago exactly? Question mark. That's part of the question.
Right. Or they don't, it's displaced timeline. Like it's
which
not...
also happens regularly. But yeah, I know that is part of the ongoing conversation is how things were shifted to land when they landed. And did this line up more evenly when there was a longer runway leading into a different type of next switch?
Maybe.
All an ongoing conversation. The Alaskan X-Men base is here. Warlion cheers with some fire emojis. Yeah. I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to have seen the preview image of that and to recognize that from Ryan Stegman's work mm-hmm. in the art that we've seen for X-Men.
Agreed.
Gilbert Rojo, 1022, cheers. It's about time the Avengers finally step up. Oh, we actually don't need you. Which I thought was a great slap back.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
We're good.
And reminds me about that bit about Tony in his last issue as the mutant's last hope. Which, you know.
Yeah.
Bleh. This was Eagles Waterboy's first time reading this new Avengers series. The way that it ended, I'll continue to read it.
Yeah.
Which I think, yeah. Like,
well, is this the only Avengers tie-in or are there a couple more?
There's one more issue that will be also branded. So the next issue that has Josh on the cover will also be branded Fall of the House of X. And then I believe Josh stays on covers, but then it continues out. Again, I don't know the future of this series, how much longer it'll go. But
are they taking Josh away and giving him to the Avengers?
I mean, I'm reading the Avengers, so.
I'm not well. I remember when we were, when we saw him recently at a con, we were talking like, you what's next? And he was like,
We wanted to continue to stay and play in the mutants. Yeah. And that was maybe not an option. They
were like, what besides the mutants do you want to draw?
And that, honestly, I was talking to some people. Are they distancing themselves or creating a fresh new team to kind of make it stand on its own, which makes sense, right?
Yeah.
If you continue to have the writers and the artists that are associated with the past era while you try to define a new thing, it makes sense. It's just, it hurts because we have grown attached to the writers and artists that we have known and loved over the last few years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jerry and Josh will always have a special place in my heart. Don't take them from me.
No, I mean, Jerry's got some indie work coming out.
Yeah.
Jabbo 616 thought Avengers was really good, but X-Men, there's no real choice. Avengers was a solid issue. I'm excited to see McKay on X proper. He's such an awesome writer, and I love his voice. But X-Men, so good. Kassara is a master, and the Doom X-Men are welcome addition to these pages. And the Wolverine Hellfire scene, come on, all the right feels.
Mm-hmm.
Merge the comments from one to the other. But yeah, we're starting to transition, even though I have one more for
Avengers. You should have done that in a different order.
I know.
Mr. Segway King is really not doing a good job.
Well, because some people come in through the question box and some people come in through messages, and I'm not gonna move Vaderino because he's asking a similar question about when this takes place in the Fall of X timeline, right? Because MODOK is still around. The big bad of this story is the release schedule, which I think is a great cap on it.
Vaderino always gets me good with his jokes.
The confusing part being Tony's suit, right? Mm-hmm. The suit design, the timeline of the Orcus standoff in Australia, when this falls even in relation to Iron Man. And that's not something that I've been closely following as I've been reading. It's crazy to think about the fact that I pick up Iron Man and the Avengers.
Yeah, who are you?
I don't know. I've never read these two titles.
Well, get used to it, I guess.
Change that statement because you're doing it.
Oh, goodness.
That's all. It's time for X-Men.
X-Men. I said that it's X-Men.
In that team-up cover. Everybody get in here.
The cover. Ooh, the cover is so beautiful.
Yeah, the cover is intense. It's extreme. Everyone's got their battle faces on and are ready to go. I do love this as a merge of, right, Doom's X-Men are here on the cover. You know that they're coming in. And then you have the residual force of our X-Men team, even though they're not our dead X-Men team,
who
are our X-Men team.
These are the X-Men.
Yes. Well, especially having Emma moved in with it and Miss Marvel, you know, she is the X-Men. Wolverine is the X-Men. Cyclops. Sink is here.
Yeah, it's a great cover for so many reasons, but I also really like that you can see the tired, haggard look on their faces, you know, like.
Especially Cyclops.
Yeah, they just seem like, okay, we're pushing through.
Emma's flawless. Emma does not look like she's lost a wink of sleep.
Well, I kind of comment on this a little bit in the issue when we get to her putting on her lipstick, but Emma can psychically project herself to look however the heck Emma wants herself to look.
It's true, and that is always a fun nod in the background.
Yeah, so she's going to look flawless even if she's not having a great day. Here we go. Page, turn, noise.
Shaw is making moves. And just when we thought, Wow, he was doing something positive in X-Men Forever?
We didn't think that. Shaw said Shaw's here for Shaw.
Well, he was like, you know, erase this from my mind so they don't come after me and get to you. That was like, but then he
that
also...
That was kind. Yeah. Also, it's also to save his own booty because he doesn't want to have anything in there that they can use against him.
Yeah, but he's calling in... It's like a lesser... evil of Shaw. You know, Shinobi still does what he wants to do, primarily inspired by his vendetta against his father.
Of course.
But at least he does it for the mutants.
Right. And I think that it's interesting just get this little flashback to see that from the start, Shaw was sort of putting things in place on both ends to be like, I'm going to go for whichever team is winning.
It's a heartless strategy.
And I will be flipping at any point. Yeah. So I need to make sure I have strategic placement of assets on both sides.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I love seeing the Reavers again. So this version of the Reavers that kind of, especially the way that they're outfitted here, really merges the OG design with what they've become in the Krakoan era. And to see even this drop-in shot, to have Josh on here and to mirror similar ideas from X-Force number one, when they dropped in on Krakoa for the first time. I thought that was a great visual callback.
So timeline question, because I know we're jumping back, we're jumping around, and I know the first pages was like, you know, a lot not long ago, but these Madripoor pages, I don't know exactly when they fall, but my gut says that they fall after the team that was on the boat.
Dead X-Men. Dark X-Men.
Yes, after Dark X-Men, after the boat was destroyed, this is sort of like where they landed.
Yeah, when they came off the boat because of the Hellfire orders had
subsided. Because there's something from one of the Reavers that says, like, why don't you just go get on a boat and get out of here? And in my mind, I'm like, girl, I already tried that.
Didn't work.
Didn't work for me.
They're blowing up the Princess Bar. I love this boom shot.
Oh, yeah.
With Callisto falling backwards.
So good.
Just the art is so beautiful. This combo of the boom over the smoke silhouette around them, the Marauder's necklace that Callisto's wearing. Do you see that detail? The little skull as she gets kicked in the face. Ugh.
So good. Which takes us straight to our title page. Traitor in Our Midst.
As the World Burns, written by Jerry Duggan, art by Joshua Cassara, colors by Romulo Fajardo Jr., letters Clayton Coles.
VC's Clayton Coles.
Josh and Guru EFX on the amazing standoff cover.
Yes.
Oh, there's also a Storm variant on a trading card cover. Ooh. I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
That's a Russell Dodderman Storm, which we always love to see.
Gotta have it.
All right, muties.
Oh my goodness. Emma's here in the middle of the chaos, taking a second during her psychic messaging to fix her lipstick, which I appreciate because,
beauty up.
As I was saying, she could force herself to appear.
However she wants,
but she's still going to take a moment to look good. And that craziness is why I love Emma Frost.
Yeah, she's doing our recap page for us with some great visual detail as we see the treehouse still in shambles. We see Nazi Cap doing his thing, leading what will potentially be a future plot line down the line. The skies are using this war to fuel anti-mutant conversation.
Yes, she's sort of like connecting all fronts, and that's how we're getting the recap, is like, this is where everyone on the team is at right now.
Yeah, it's a similar role that she's been playing in Fathawks in this coordinating, right? There's no Xavier, there's no Jean, there's no person that you might expect doing this, and she has definitely stepped into that role over the last however many X months that it's been. I love the detail that the Morlock tunnels were abandoned to trap the Orcus agents.
Yes.
That was intel that we gave to them for a specific purpose.
So is that, like, we're never going to know about the blood?
I believe that we did find that out. And I said that when I was editing, that was a out-of-time sight of Sync reacting to having lost Laura. That was his blood, his claws tearing up without the healing factor. That I think that's it. It just fits weird because of the timeline.
But we get a classic Wolverine moment.
Yeah. Hanging out in the sewers. That is the Uncanny X-Men 133 callback. This little Clint Eastwood moment as we get Berserker Wolverine. This spread is just incredible. Like,
yeah.
I feel like this was Josh doing a victory lap on Wolverine.
I mean, it's so beautiful.
Right? To just see these cut-ups, these close-ins, close-ups and cut-ups, you know? To see him tear through the hand missing, the head getting slashed off.
Oh, yeah. Just the one eyeball of that one Orca's agent who's, like, shocked and dead.
Yeah.
And all the bodies piled up.
Well, our friends in Madripoor need help, and they get as Shadowcat is here to tear it up similarly.
Look at these pages. Yeah. Look at them. Look at her. Look at Josh, you angel baby.
I love the boo.
Careful,
boys. This one is the ghost. Boo, as she slices. Yeah.
I posted a picture, a Shadowcat picture today, and I used that. Careful, boys. This one's a ghost. Boo.
I used that as my caption
because it was so good. And just like that slice across.
Yeah.
And the way she's like, here for Callisto, like, I'm just going to phase you out and we're going to take these babies down.
Take these babies down, get Callisto back in that fight as she stabs into the eye, and then from the shadows, Shinobi gives us the real story.
Oh, I love the little comedic panel here where Callisto's going hard for Shinobi and Kate just puts her hand on him so Callisto phases straight through. And
poor Callisto.
Let's just hear him out for a second. Yeah.
This was probably, so I reread this again, these two pages, to get this part. This was probably the heaviest narrative work being done in the issue. The true plan and backup plan of director Killian Devo, right? He has the ability to reassemble Orcus stashed away on this secret location.
Right.
That Shaw is playing both sides of.
Right, which is a cool angle to see that Shaw has him here, which he can either keep him safe or literally lead him to slaughter and
look like a hero, depending on what, like, this is a Shaw move, but he's
the Shawiest Shaw.
But he's undercut by his son, who is also Shaw. Like, he's got the same inclinations. Like,
I'm not going to even let this be a thing. No. I have some intel. Let's take him down.
I'm the captain now. I love this dropping shot.
Oh my God, I can't get enough of it.
Yeah. So they drop in this X-Men team to face off against Devo, but he's got a backup plan. He's got defenses in the version of Mr. Fantastic's abilities, his intelligence, to throw you into the negative zone.
I love the chaos of this moment of just like, Emma's like, I can't access his mind. And Sink's like, I'm doing the best I can. Magic, can you make a portal? I'm freaking trying, bro. Like,
this, I feel like, is the first. So when Emma tries to access his mind, this is the first that we as the X-Men have announced his brain has been scooped out and replaced by directive from Omega Sentinel. That's huge. Right. That's a big reveal.
That's how we know. And then Miss Marvel has a fun idea. Hey, why don't we, could I talk to my friend Dr. Doom?
Excuse me, Mr. Lord Chancellor Doom, sir.
It's my favorite. It's like, of all the mutants to ask Doom for help, the fact that it's Kamala, because I just feel like he like has a tiny little soft spot for her.
As he should, because she is just joy and happiness.
Yeah. She's like, excuse me, Mr. Doom, sir, could we maybe get your X-Men to help us now?
Doom is on board to save parts of the Earth, but also to stick it to Richards' tech.
Right. He's like, oh, you're using it. And I also like that he's like, you're using it wrong.
You're doing it
wrong. You're not even doing it in a good way.
Deploy the X-Men of Doom.
Dun, dun, dun.
We only get our main three here.
Yes.
Right? We do have others of the team that haven't really seen a lot of battle testing. Yep. But Volta's spear lighting it up.
Oof, so good. I also love that Nerium can smell the pollen and knows where they are based on the scents in the air.
Just like, I love a good elemental influence, right? Mm-hmm. To have characters that have classic, you know, Static Shock was a key character in my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Having that elemental influence. And to have these three with different twists on their elemental control.
Yeah.
Like Volta having the spear of Latveria to channel her abilities. Mm-hmm. Nerium with the intricacies of her power. Slag with the negative effects of his congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, so funny when he high-fives Kamala.
Yeah. It's just the details that, will we ever see these characters again? We don't know.
I know, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, but to have this cap on the run from these two, to be able to introduce these mm-hmm. three with some definition, to say, I mean, anyone that picks up Doom's story going forward, he has some mutants in Latveria, right. Which makes so much sense.
Right.
Why wouldn't there be mutants there? Why right. wouldn't he mine that as a resource?
Exactly. Doom.
Devo still got some last words as Volta responds in kind.
That's enough.
It's enough out of you.
I like the nod from Wolverine. Like, yeah. Hey, you ever want to be an X-Men? And she's like, nah.
That, I feel like, leaves it open.
Right.
For anyone to play with later on.
Right, of course. And then we have the
connection
roller
to
coaster of emotions that I felt reading these next few panels, because I did, in fact, chuckle just based on the body language, the way that Nimrod is like pointing at Cyclops' head. Yeah, like, yeah, are you talking to your friends about me?
With his three fingers, like, you better not be telling him my secrets. I don't really care.
Right. So that was funny. But then he just starts smashing Cyclops. Yeah. And it's just like, Cyclops is just going to take it so that he can make sure that the team knows that there is a much larger threat here. We have been tricked.
Yeah. Gregor's corpse splayed on the ground at Cyclops' feet. That was intense. Yeah. But,
and
yeah.
It's like her actual head is still backwards.
Yeah.
Like,
that was a line of detail for Josh in the script.
Yes, you know it was.
Oh, man. This last page, setting up the epic response from the Sentinels. Mm-hmm. Hey, our big bad, our thing, our, you know, layers deep.
Sentinel City is rising.
Because it's now a part of the conversation that this was all a plan. This was all a Trojan horse that they have been distracting us with.
We red herringed you the whole time.
To actually make their play. Sentinel mm-hmm. City. Sentinel City is our Krakoan.
Dun, dun, dun.
What did you think?
Oh my God, I am very much enjoyed this book. It feels so good to be in the heat of the battle and to see how the things are taking place on multiple fronts. I love the pop-ins to different story points and that so many mutants get a chance to shine in this issue.
Yep.
We're seeing how every battle of this war is a factor in what happens next and how some of them have great outcomes and some of them don't. The entrance of Doom's X-Men was great, and I love that it's Kamala who's the one to get the right sway with Doom, to get him to follow along and help. I obviously also love the art, and I felt like I was able to enjoy these battles without being, like, worrying too much about something too heady. Like, it was nice to just balance this out with the other books that we've been getting in a different level of enjoyment of just, like, smash them up, move the story forward, feel some vindication for the mutants, and then know that there's lots of other things playing in the background. If I have to watch the end of the era, I want to see the epicness of that ending.
Yeah, you want to see the fights. You want to see the details.
Yeah, I want to feel like the mutants gave it their all, you know? And so getting to see these different aspects of the fight and see like a much larger team, because we're getting, you know, all the teams kind of starting to come together from all across, it's really satisfying. And I just like, an issue with Josh's art is just candy from my eyeballs.
Yeah, right. It's a win. It's a win for me.
Yeah.
This was a hodgepodge of attacks, callbacks, connections, with the real teas coming at the end. The Devo pages seem like the most important as we spend a handful of pages killing off yet another high-ranking Orcus official. Right.
Another one bites the dust. Ooh.
How we have seen these kind of three-page or more vignettes to send off these key figures that have become mainstays of mm-hmm. not only the whole Krakoan era, but specifically Jerry's run with Stasis and Fei Long, specifically the guys that he said, we need more name brands on our bad guy side. And then to take the Hickman details of Devo and Gregor mm-hmm. and to wrap those up as well.
And to know that like the big bad that we're really going for is the AI and Sentinel City, but to also know that these other villains were such a major part that we're giving them
their due.
They're getting glorious deaths. You know, it's not just like written off like, well, we don't care anymore because we have to fight Sentinel City. So at least they're getting that.
They're not getting one panel to sacrifice themselves into the ocean.
We're not going to go there. I was trying to go there without going there.
I know. I saw it. And I said, no, I'm going there. I'm going there right now. And I'm not even going to say it's X-Force.
Okay.
Great to see Doom's X-Men in battle. Loved the moment of Kate being a scary ghost. Layers of reveals, of details, ties, double crosses. Mm-hmm. Shinobi being Shinobi to turn the tide against Shaw's retirement plan just when he went and did something good.
I know.
I really enjoyed it.
It was great.
We've got questions.
Okay.
Michael Loves Mariah Carey says, any issue with Doom's X-Men, especially the Lightning Spear of Death, gets a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Gregor, too bad you can't turn your head around to look at your husband now.
Ooh, she was trying. Burn.
She was trying to see from the ground. Frederick Ellis Frazier is running through the beats. The death of Dr. Devo and Nimrod doesn't kill Scott. So clash at Sentinel City is the final battle, question mark?
Yeah. Well, I loved that moment that Nimrod was just like, I don't need to kill you because I'm going to ascend. So it really doesn't matter. Come with me if you want, but also, you're going to be part of it, whether you like it or not.
That is classic supervillain posturing.
Of course. And it's you should have killed him.
You should have killed him.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
if you ever read or watched anything with a villain, you should have killed him.
You should have killed him.
I'm glad you didn't.
Just like some superheroes shouldn't leave villains to just hope that they'll change their
monologue
ways.
Monologue themselves to death.
Right.
Mr. Tyler 7 gives all due respect to Noto, but it was great having Kassara back on Interiors. Mm-hmm. Loved the giant size number one callback.
Yeah.
Eagles Waterboy loved the bloody panels between Wolverine and Shadowclad. Glad to see Doom's X-Men as well, even though the fight felt short. Interested to see what happens with Sentinel City. And I would agree, and we got some other responses of the fact that Doom's X-Men did not have as much as we thought they might with their full issue introduction, but we also don't know if this is the end. Are they going to take the battle with the rest of the X-Men in their final push?
Yeah, I think two things. I think one, they're here for the duration of this fight. I think that they're saying, like, we're not going to be X-Men, but we've been sent in to help you, so we're not just going to fight one fight and leave. I feel like they'll be around for a little bit longer. But at the same time, my brain just keeps going to the fact that I feel that the timeline for the ending of Krakoa changed. And so the placement and the idea to create these X-Men, maybe they would have had a longer life had Krakoa lasted another year or so.
Yeah. We will never know.
We'll never know. Unless it's later revealed one day down the line in a panel or something.
Yeah. After the NDAs expire.
Yeah.
Vaderino thought it was good, but the Doom X-Men took Devo down way too easily. It feels very, look at my badass OC characters, which, you know, that is true. The fact that these are the thing that we needed to cancel out this other thing. But also, is that just plugging in the inputs and getting the answer to the equation on the other side?
Yeah.
Mixed feelings. Warlion, Emma says Mutie. Are we sure that this isn't Hydra Emma?
No, I love the sass. Like the okay, we're going to take ownership of this name. Like, listen up, muties.
Yeah, we're taking it back.
Yeah.
Emma is proud of Cyclops killing, which makes Anas laugh. That goes against a whole issue called The Confession, where he was hiding the fact that he killed a couple of Bastion's friends when he created X-Force, which I thought was interesting, but I think we're in a very different time, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that we're fighting for the survival of ourselves as a species. Interesting tilt.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else think that with Devo being ended by new characters that'll be forgotten soon, that Sentinel City will end up fighting Avengers City, and that will be the end of Sentinel City?
Well, that's what I was alluding to earlier when I was saying, like, I wonder how will go against each other.
Well, it also just visually places them in the battle, right? You have the sword stations X-ing in the skies. You have the Impossible City where it is placed as Sentinel City is on its approach. I don't know if it's coming for Earth or if it's coming for Mars. Mm. I believe it's coming for Mars.
Interesting. But Mars is everyone's left.
Right. But so that we just need this.
A base.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting too
a world mind.
That Impossible City has like a personality and has an AI of its own, right?
So, right, and how does that combat?
Where do
they fall?
What's the mutant side AI that is...
Warlock.
Where is he?
Yeah, danger. Maddie Bond is over the Dug and Run and can't wait for it to be done. One whole issue of tense setup, working to get Doom's X-Men on side for what? So Slag can turn up and push over a machine that makes a portal? Why, Jerry, why? Him and Percy need to do a course on setup and payoff. He does these weak story moves all the time, wasting pages on moving pieces into play only for them to fall over in a panel, with some interesting callback moments as Maddie is calling out Laura in Sync's mind, Firestar just saying to Kate, I'm a double agent, and the four pages of Typhoid Mary cartwheeling her way to Kingpin to say, hey, I'm back. Which I thought was interesting, right? Is it waste? Is it visual interest? I thought that the payoff of Laura in Sync's mind was actually emotionally tense and good, but some of the other ones, I see what Maddie's saying.
Yes, but I also didn't read, I didn't read this issue as like a unsatisfying ending, but I respect that if you did, like, you know, that's, well, I think that's how you feel about it.
That's also just, we are generally here for Jerry.
Right,
and,
yes.
And are
not
excited to
is
see
for everything.
How he's going to end the run. Even in just like, I didn't want X-Force to fail. I was excited at the beginning of the issue. How it made me feel, I was vocal about. This did not make me feel disappointed.
Right.
And I think that that is just part of that conversation, is how you're going into something and how it's making you feel afterwards.
Right.
Because One More Summer also thought that it was a little disappointing for what they were expecting.
But so it's a mixed bag.
It's a mixed bag. And honestly, don't you want different reactions?
Yes.
I mean, obviously you don't want people to say it's
not
disappointing.
Not like it.
Sure.
Right.
But the fact that it's evoking different responses from different people.
It's conversation starting.
And it's making you think, what else could you have done or would you have done? And that inspires future storytellers.
Yeah, for sure.
We have a big week next week.
Oh, geez, Louise. What do you mean?
I mean, it's got a handful of non-Krakoan and a handful of Krakoan.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Like,
I need to just take a deep breath and center myself.
How many books do you think it is?
When you say a big week, I feel like maybe 8.
7.
Okay.
Weapon X-Men number 2.
Okay.
X-Men 97 number 2.
All right.
Ultimate X-Men number 2. So just getting getting our in-betweens out of the way, because that's what they are, right?
Yes,
they are in-between titles. They are transitioning the gap or starting to. Miss Marvel Mutant Menace number 2.
Okay.
Kind of falling in between those two distinctions, right? She's
the bridge to the bridge.
Yes, basically. She's off doing some mojo stuff. Invincible Iron Man number 17.
Okay.
Iron Man fighting Tony Stark on the cover. Wolverine number 47. Very excited about that. That is the Savage Sabretooth versus Laura on the cover.
Oh, yeah.
And Resurrection of Magneto number 4.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
The finale of that story, which I posted some preview pages on Friday that were just Magneto tearing through Orcus.
I just looked at the images, though. I didn't read the words.
Neither did I. I mean, it tells a story that I want to read.
Yeah, yeah, for
sure. Just in those images. I'm buying the book.
Of course. I'm here.
I'm at the table.
Well, okay. I feel good this week. Do you feel good this week?
Yeah.
No, it's nice to have a week where we feel good. Everyone's happy for once. Oh, hey, at least everyone on this podcast.
I was happy last week. It just, there was that moment that...
I mean, Justin, I was the same thing the week before.
I know.
You know, it's a roller coaster of emotions.
Isn't that what we want? In a degree.
In a way. And we'll see what happens next week. Until next time, old friend.
Charles, get out of here.
Get out.
Go.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the X-Wife Podcast. Be sure to leave us a review and tell your friends.
The X-Wife Podcast is produced in Providence, Rhode Island by Alicia and Justin. Our music is by Quan.